Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, Casey Gibson. So, when we start off the show, we talked a little bit about Joe Paterno and, you know, the American sports, right? So, and I gave you a little rundown of how the show is going to go, but, you know, we're going to get into the show. We're going to get into the American side of soccer. We're going to start with the MLS, of course. And it's playoffs. It's the playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. The MLS has gone into the playoffs. Good games. We had two good games this past weekend. And the first one was Houston Dynamo and Sporting Kansas City. Okay? So, two very good teams from the Eastern Conference of the MLS. And, you know, Sporting Kansas City is kind of rebounding and working on their stuff. You know, they're, you know, decent team. No question. They revamped it. New logo, new name. They used to be the Kansas City Wizards, and now they're just Sporting Kansas City. So, I mean, maybe this whole revamp helped out because they made it to the conference finals. And they held their own. I mean, they lost 2-0, unfortunately, to the Houston Dynamo. And a round of applause for the Dynamo. They're playing fantastic. finished in second, I believe, in the Eastern Conference. Yes, that's correct. Second place. Anyway, in this game, they had goals from Andre Hainsolt and Carlo Costley. Hainsolt happened in the 53rd minute, and Carlo Costley got a late one in the 87th to, you know, seal the deal and book their ticket to the MLS Cup Final. In the MLS Cup Final, they will face none other than a familiar, I think familiar face to the game of soccer or football, as it's called, referred to in England. And that's David Beckham in the LA Galaxy. They beat Real Salt Lake 3-1. And you know, that was a good game. It really was. I got to watch it with my roommates. And my roommates are from, or not roommates, one of my roommates is from LA, the LA area, and we got it, and you know, he and I are both LA fans. I'm a fan just because of David Beckham, honestly. You know, I don't watch the MLS all as much as I watch the EPL, but I do watch it. I'm a huge fan of soccer in this country, though, so it was nice to see. Anyway, the game was, you know, it was a pretty good game, actually. The scoring started off in the 22nd minute with Landon Donovan at the penalty spot, slotting home the goal. It was a PK. Beckham brought down the ball on his chest, went to pass it, and kind of got hit from behind. There's no question about it. It was a PK. But Real Salt Lake answered with Alvaro Saboro. He answered in the 26th minute, so to tie the game up 1-1. Went into halftime at that score, 1-1. And then, you know, LA kind of put the pedal down and got goals from Mike McGee off of a corner kick. The assist goes to David Beckham on that one. It was a very nice near post run, kind of slots, just kind of put the ball over the keeper's head and to put him up 2-1. Then in the 68th minute, Robbie Keane, that's right, the Irish international, the striker from Ireland, got his name on the score sheet. And that's how the game ended in a 3-1 win. LA also booked their trip to the MLS Cup. They were there 2 years ago, not last year, but the year before that, where they faced, I believe it was Seattle. Lost in PKs. Was it Seattle? Yeah, man, I can't remember now. I know it was in Seattle. Pretty sure it was Seattle they played. No, that doesn't sound right. I can't remember. I'm going to have to jog my memory here soon and figure it out. Who was it? But anyway, it was played in Seattle. They lost in PKs. This, a lot of people are saying, is David Beckham's best chance. That's right, his best chance to win the MLS Cup since arriving here 5 years ago. His contract ends it this year, and a lot of people are wondering, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? I think he'll stay. So for all those worried fans, I think he's actually going to stay. I feel like his lifestyle fits LA very well, and I know his family loves it. So I think he's gonna stay. I think we don't have to really worry about that. And he's done great things for soccer in the United States. So I don't see any reason why he'd want to leave. Anyway, the finals is on Sunday, November 20th. I would say book it now. Record it. Press record on your TiVo. I feel like it's going to be a fantastic game. Houston Dynamo, led by the legendary, or not, I don't know if he's legendary, but he's a veteran, a wily veteran for sure, and Brian Ching. You've got a lot of players from the LA team who also made the MLS best 11, and Landon Donovan, Omar Gonzalez, the defender, Todd Donovan, the other defender, and even, I mean, like we all don't know, Landon Donovan, of course, as a midfielder. They all made the, they all made the MLS best 11 this year. And I will give you a rundown of who else made it. So I think it's going to be a great game. There's no question about that. And I hope the fans get their money's worth. I also hope LA comes out on top, because I am a fan of the LA Galaxy and David Beckham and Landon Donovan, of course. But regardless of how I feel, I think it's going to be a good game. And I think that in the end, that's what a lot of people want in championships. Who wins? I'm going to go out and say, I'm going to say LA 2-1. I think they'll be, I think they really want it. They had a taste of it 2 years ago. A lot of people favored them last year. Unfortunately, they lost. So I think a lot of people are favoring them this year. And I think they've had a taste. They want it all. So I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't really know how big of a limb that is, and say LA 2-1. It's still a ways away. We're going to talk a little more about it as the weeks go on. I will be on next week, and then it's not this coming Sunday, but the Sunday after. So it's not like we got to talk all of it right now. But this is an interesting fact I want to point out right here. Okay. So the Dynamo are in. We obviously have, okayed on that, or we agree on that one, and we get to agree. Dynamo are in. After 34 games played this season, they had 49 points. 49. Okay, 2 points behind the Eastern Conference leading Sporting Kansas City, who had 51. LA had 67 points. 67 points. I think that's ridiculous. They had 18 more points over the course of the season than the Houston Dynamo, who were they playing in the final, the MLS Cup final. I think it's weird, because in other sport, well, in all of soccer around the world, they just do it by points. You get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie, no points for a loss. And if teams are tied at the end after the 38, because usually you play, there's 20 teams, and you play every team twice. So that's over the course, it's about 38 games you play. It is 38 games you play. And what they do is they do points. And if whoever wins, whoever has the most points at the end of the year wins the cup or the trophy at the end. There's no playoffs. That's a very American type thing, a type of format for finding out who the champion is in American sports. And if there's a tie when points, then it goes to the goal differential. How many more goals did you score than were scored against you? So it's a very interesting thing to look at, no matter. But, I mean, it's a lot different here in the United States than it is in Europe, South America, everywhere besides the United States. They do it on that point system. So, anyways. Some more, I guess it's like a, like, you know, seeing the link between Europe and America. The transition. New York Red Bull defender Tim Ream, even though the New York Red Bulls didn't have as great a season as they wanted, says he is being tracked by Arsenal. That's right, the EPL powerhouse Arsenal. He's been tracked with them for over a couple weeks, and apparently it's been made public. So he's confirmed it. He also said there were others, and those have not been made public. So we will keep our eyes out on that one, and I will let you know. The MLS Best 11, Ives Galarkreps, MLS Best 11 have been announced. Of course, the goalkeeper, the retiring goalkeeper, is Casey Keller, the U.S. international goalkeeper. plays in Seattle. He just retired. He's calling it quits. He's hanging up his boots and gloves, and he's going to go on and be a – I think he's probably going to become an analyst for ESPN or someone, or maybe Fox Soccer. I don't know who exactly, but I think he'd be a very good analyst. Defenders were Omar Gonzalez of LA Galaxy, Nate Borchers of Real Salt Lake, Todd Donovan of LA Galaxy. Those are the defenders for the MLS Best 11. Very good defenders. LA Galaxy are going to have a lot of names in here. I know. Just keep bear with me. The Houston Dynamo, Brad Davis is made it for the midfielders. Breck Shea from FC Dallas, who also has been linked with moves overseas to Europe, made it. He's playing fantastic. He's also a U.S. international player, and he's probably going to play this weekend when the United States plays France. Osvaldo Alonso from Seattle, the Seattle midfielder, made it. David Beckham from the LA Galaxy. And Landon Donovan from the LA Galaxy also made it. Dwayne De Rosario, midfielder out of DC United, made the list as well. This is more close to home. That's right. The San Jose Earthquakes forward, Chris Wondolowski, also made the MLS Best 11. That rounds out the Best 11. Lots of fantastic players were mentioned in there. And, of course, there's more, but those are the Best 11. Omar Gonzalez, who was mentioned in the Best 11 for the LA Galaxy, the defender, also went home with some more silverware, as you like to say, from the MLS. He wins MLS Defender of the Year. He's the youngest player to win this award. He just turned 23 on October 11th. So he is the youngest person. He's a fantastic defender. I really enjoy watching this youngster play. He's a very good player, because a lot of people had doubts when he came to the MLS. It wasn't the easiest, but you know, he's made his way in, and now he's a starter and a regular on the first team for the Galaxy. More awards that were mentioned. Sporting Kansas City's in Seattle dominate the MLS awards. Obviously, Rookie of the Year goes to CJ Sapong out of Kansas City. Goalkeeper of the Year is, of course, Casey Keller of Seattle. I think another person that could have made that run would have been Josh Saunders from the LA Galaxy. But, you know, of course, Casey Keller's last year. I say let him go out with a bang. Newcomer of the Year went to Mario Rosales out of Seattle. Most Improved was Dominic Oduro out of the Chicago Fire. And Coach of the Year went to Peter Vermes out of Sporting Kansas City, because he really did do a lot. He really made those guys believe and really kind of turned the program around. And I don't know if it was the new colors or maybe it was the deal that with Chad Ochocinco coming to try out that really kind of spurred everybody going. I don't know. Whatever it was worked, because the Kansas City Sporting Kansas City is real deal, and I think you'll see him in years to come. We're going to take a quick break before we move into the international friendlies this weekend and European playoffs. But I think so far it's a good show. So stay tuned. We'll talk international friendlies and some EPL. And then maybe we'll have some time for some Dominican sports. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Red Card on radio.dominican.edu. Well, if I can't keep my mouth shut, then I promise not to use the air word and scare you away. 'Cause I want you to stay. Well, if I can't keep my mouth shut, promise not to use the R word and scare you away. 'Cause I want you. We'll be right back.
promise not to use the L word and scare you away.
Welcome back to the Red Card on radio.dominican.edu with me, Casey Gibson. That's right, your host, the one, the only. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with all you guys. Anyways, before we went to break, we talked about the MLS and we you know, whatever we talked about in the beginning before that, my little rant, of course. Now I want to get into some international friendlies, which is going to be big news this weekend because there's some pretty good games. Just saying. Today we had Brazil defeats Gabon 2-0. This weekend we have Georgia versus Moldova, Albania versus Azerbaijan, Hungary and Liechtenstein, Denmark, Sweden, Greece, Russia, which I think is going to be a good game. I think Russia might win that one. Netherlands, Switzerland, this is a very good game. The past two meetings they've tied 1-1 and 0-0, I believe. And I think the Netherlands is going to take it. I'm just saying. You know, they are the number two team in the world, I believe. Look for some good games there. Belgium and Romania take the pitch. Panama, Costa Rica. That should be a pretty good game, especially for Costa Rica, I feel like. Cyprus versus Scotland. Scotland needs to take that one. I'm rooting for Scotland, at least. Poland, Italy. The Balotelli, the Italian striker, takes his off his Man City jersey, puts on that Italy jersey, and I think we should all expect great things out of him. Ukraine, Germany. I believe Germany is going to get this result hands down. Some stuff was said about this game, and I'll get into it in the dirty tackle. It's pretty funny, actually. Actually, it's sad and funny at the same time. France and United States. This should be a good game for United States. Big competition. Big tough opponent in France, who's kind of revamping their squad. And I feel like that'll be a good game. I would project either a tie game or a one-goal win for either team. I feel like they're good enough. I think France might actually have a little they actually definitely have the advantage of this being played in France. So go figure. But I think either team could win it or it'll end in a draw. At least I hope either team could win it. Mexico plays Serbia. This will be a good opponent for Mexico because they don't really play Europe all that much, play teams from Europe all that much. So it'll be a good chance for them to really see what they're made of. And Serbia is a good team. South Africa versus the Ivory Coast, two African nations going at it. Wales, Norway. That should be a good game for Norway. England versus Spain. That's right. The number, I believe, England is ranked number 5 in the FIFA rankings. And, of course, Spain ranked number 1. This should be a very good game. This will be the big test for England, especially with their youth. And Capello saying he's going to leave after for Euros. So there's lots of things going on in English football right now, and especially with the Terry kind of saga going on with racism and whatnot. And there's been more accusations, and this racism thing in football or in soccer is really, really sad. It's just super sad. I can't believe it's kind of come to this. But anyway, you got to go on. And I think that'll be a good game. It is being played at Wembley, so that might give England the advantage. I don't know how much of an advantage, but it's going to be a very good game. And hopefully we can have some good soccer and watch some good soccer. I will want to watch that game, actually. Actually, I will watch that game. There are other games on Monday and Tuesday as well. Honduras versus Serbia, Brazil, Egypt. This is going to be Bob Bradley's first game, I believe, as Egypt head coach. He's going to take on the high-powered offense of Brazil, the Samba Kings. So we'll see how that turns out and how Bob Bradley handles his new position. I think that's a good position for him. I think it's interesting, to say the least. Maybe we'll get an Egypt-United States matchup, and that could be a bittersweet moment. And it could also be kind of weird if Bob Bradley's son Michael Bradley's on the team. I don't know, family blood. I don't know. Cyprus will take on Azerbaijan. Greece will take on Romania. Luxembourg and Switzerland. So if Switzerland loses to the Netherlands or ties, they'll ride that into the Luxembourg game. Macedonia and Albania. Ukraine, Austria, Denmark and Finland. Poland versus Hungary. Slovenia and the United States. So United States is getting two really good European matchups in France. And then again in Slovenia, so hopefully they can get a result out of both, if not one of them. Or at least one of them, if not both of them. That's what I meant to say. There we go. the next game, I think, it could be a pretty good game. Italy, Uruguay. I just have a good feeling about that game. Lots of offense in both those countries. Both those teams have lots of offense. So I say stay tuned for that one. Germany, Netherlands. That's the game I want to see out of all of them. Even the England game, I want to see Germany, Netherlands. I feel like that's going to be an awesome game. England will then host Sweden in a. These two are bitter rivals. It goes back for a couple of years. They're bitter rivals. They met in the 2006 World Cup and tied 1-1. I remember this because I was at a soccer camp, an English soccer camp. And we were watching it, and I was rooting for England. I wore my jersey that day, and the coaches loved me because I was wearing an England jersey, and, you know, I was going nuts. And Joe Cole scored a fantastic goal in that game. I remember that. So hopefully it lives up to its hype. France, Belgium, and then Costa Rica and Spain. So good games. There's also Bolivia, and Portugal traveled to Bolivia in their Euro playoff. And some interesting things happened to Cristiano Ronaldo, which we'll get into when we talk about the dirty tackle. Well, we're going to switch to the EPL here. A couple games from last weekend. Newcastle defeated Everton 2-1, and they remain undefeated in the EPL. They remain at third place. Crazy, I know. They got relegated a couple years ago. Now they're back, kind of like the Lions. I'm just throwing it out there. We'll use that as an analogy for those Americans that might not understand it. Arsenal beats West Brom 3-0. Van Persie's on a goal-scoring rampage right now. He's had two hat-tricks, a brace, a goal here, a goal there. He's just on fire right now. If anybody has him on their EPL fantasy, which my roommate Evan Cordova does, you're getting lots of points. I believe Evan Cordova, because of Van Persie, now leads our if I was in a league, in quotation marks, he would probably be leading the league. Anyway, Aston Villa, 3-2 win over Norwich City. Good one for Aston Villa. Liverpool draws with Swansea 0-0. That's not a good sign. And Liverpool boss is the manager's come out and said, Kenny Dalglish has said, you know, bear with us. We got a rough patch of games coming up right here. Bear with us. It may not be pretty, but telling the fans, hey, stick behind us. We're gonna need you. Manchester United beat Sunderland 1-0 in Sir Alex Ferguson's 25th anniversary game. It was an own goal from Wes Brown, who had this summer made the move from United to Sunderland. So I don't know if there's like a somewhere in his contract where it says he has to score for United even though he's not on the team, or if that's something that him and Ferguson worked out. I don't know. It's kind of ironic though, when you think. It was another unconvincing win though for United. You know, ever since they lost 6-1 to Man City at home, they just haven't been the same team. Haven't kind of gotten back into how they were at the beginning of the season, where they beat, you know, Arsenal 8-2 and 5-1 win here. And, you know, it's just, it's not that convincing anymore. And I'm a little upset. I'm a little scared. But if there's any man that can turn it around, it's Sir Alex Ferguson, no question, hands down. He did pick up the win, picked up the 3 points. So that's good to see on the 25th anniversary. Prior to the game, they renamed some stands after Ferguson and a pre-match celebration. So that was cool to see. He's very happy. And I think you're gonna see at least a couple more years out of him. Actually, more years out of him. He's gonna be the Joe Paterno of soccer. Or world football. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. Chelsea defeated Blackburn 1-0. QPR almost pulled off the upset over Man City. They were up for most of the game. Then they came back to tie it. And then, you know, they just kind of lost it, unfortunately. City needed a late goal from Yaya Toure to get the 3 points. I believe they scored it in like this 80th minute or something like that. So it was a late goal for the win. Wolves defeats Wigan Athletic 3-1. Bolton Wanderers pound Stoke City 5-0. And Tottenham defeat Fulham 3-1. Gareth Bale had a very good goal in that game. Manchester City atop the table with 31 points after 11 games played. United trails them in second with 26 points. So they're only 5 points back. But as of now, Man City's not dropping points, which is kind of scary. I think they only have one draw on the year too. In fact, I'm sure that's what they have, because 3 times 11 would be 33, and that's, yeah, so, anyway, United second with 26 points, and Newcastle's, you know, right behind them with 25 points, so Newcastle's staying strong in third, and they're the only unbeaten team left in the English Premier League besides Manchester City, of course. Chelsea stays in fourth with 22 points, tied with Tottenham. Tottenham does not have a Tottenham is tied with points, but they've only played 10 games. They have a game in hand because their Everton game got rescheduled for a later date. Bolton, Blackburn, and Wigan are in the drop zone, with Bolton having 9 points, Blackburn having 6, and Wigan in the 20th spot with 5 points. We're going to switch a little bit and give you a little some more news out of the EPL. Suarez says he's eyeing a long-term Reds future. He has a 5-year contract right now, but he says he wants to stay for a little longer than that. So, which is good news for Liverpool fans. They really need him, and he's a fantastic player. Manchester United third-string goal. I don't even know what he is. Goalkeeper denies making slave comment. That's right. He said, he was quoted in a newspaper by saying he said that United's treating him like a slave, because you have David De Gea up there at number one. You have Lindegaard as the number two goalkeeper, and Ben Amos, the U21 English goalkeeper, seeing more time than he is. So there's lots of questions into what he's doing. Well, according to this article, they said that Kusick said that United was treating him like a slave. He's come out and said, no, there's just, I don't get all this racism talk in the EPL or in soccer at all. It bugs me. It pisses me off, to be honest. So he denies it. He came out and denied, I never said that. I don't know how they got that, or I've never said that. I've never thought that about United, whatever. I feel bad for the guy, because he is being overlooked. He's a pretty decent goalkeeper. He did want to move this summer, but nothing really materialized. So it'll be interesting to see if he moves in the January transfer window. More kind of news for European football. Newcastle is to change the name of the stadium. That's right, St. James Park, which is what the stadium is referred to now because that's the area where it's built, is now going to be called Sports Direct Arena. They kind of changed it already. It's Sports Direct Arena at St. James Park, but now because of naming rights, they're going to revamp it and say the whole thing is no longer going to be referred to as St. James Park. It's going to be Sports Direct Arena. So that's big time because in England and anywhere in Europe, that's very rare. We see it with Emirates, which is where Arsenal plays, and Etihad Stadium, which is where Man City plays. But a lot of places don't, you know, rename their stadium. Stamford Bridge, White Hart Lane, where Tottenham plays, Old Trafford, which is where Manchester United plays, and even Anfield, which is where Liverpool plays. They don't name the stadium, like, they don't have naming rights for it. They name it because that's where it's been built, and there's lots of tradition involved in it. It's not like these other stadiums that are continuing to be built, and there's no sort of significant tradition behind it. Tevez, of course, more Tevez rumors. I know Tevez. He's kind of the new Balotelli. He's making lots of news outside of football. Tevez left England to go on to recover or relax in Argentina. Tevez claims he tried to tell Mancini before he left. Mancini says he never said it. He could face a £600,000 fine. Maybe even they might just fire him. I mean, he's causing lots of problems right now. I don't know. I just don't think either side's really handling this the right way. So we'll see how that kind of plays out. Balotelli claims, "I'm not crazy. I just do strange things," i.e. setting off fireworks in your bathroom and it catching fire. Yeah, you crazy, man. No, I'm just kidding. I love Balotelli. I know my roommate does. And I don't like him. Like, I mean, he's a fantastic player. I just like him because the crazy stuff he does. He does some crazy, crazy things. And he makes good news, or at least good publicity. Actually, it's not good publicity. It's just good entertainment, to be honest with you. We're going to Dortmund star. That's right. Dortmund forward Kevin Kroschertz. Is interested in Gunners' move. He says if he's gonna leave the German team, then he wants to move to EPL. His favorite team is Arsenal. So heads up, Arsenal, you might get a player. Games this weekend: we have Arsenal play Norwich City, Everton host Wolves. That'll be a good game, especially because Everton kind of needs to rebound. Manchester City faces off against another unbeaten Newcastle. So that'll be the someone may come out of there with a loss. Maybe, I don't know. Man City's got a lot of offensive power. Maybe there'll be a draw. I don't know. We'll see. And maybe someone will drop points and maybe United can slip in there. I'm just throwing it out there. Fulham travels to Sunderland. West Brom plays Bolton. Stoke faces off against QPR. They need a win after that 5-0 thumping. Swansea hosts Manchester United. This is a good chance for Manchester United to get back on that winning ways, even though Swansea is, I believe, in 10th place in the table. And I mean, there's some teams I didn't think were going to be up in the middle of the table, like Swansea, Norwich City. Hey, props to them. Chelsea plays Liverpool and Tottenham plays Aston Villa. That'll be a good game, the Chelsea-Liverpool game. It'll be return of Fernando Torres, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he'll find his goal-scoring strike. I can't tell you. I look forward to that, though. I really do look forward to that. Now we're going to switch to the Dirty Tackle. I love this. It's my favorite blog on the internet. I don't really blog a lot. Actually, I don't blog at all. I just read this. This is the only thing I read. That's technically a blog. Cristiano Ronaldo arrived with the Portuguese soccer team in Bosnia to chants of Messi, Messi, Messi. So they're just getting on him. They're already getting on him. I don't know if he knows that. I think he might think he's Messi because people chant it so much. But, you know, all he says is, you know, I'm rich, I'm pretty, and I'm good. So that's why people give me a hard time. They're envious. So big words coming out. And he said that a while ago. So anyways, so that was when he landed at the airport. Now when he trained, these Bosnian fans were after they were on these buildings on the outside of the stadium using laser pointers and pointing them in his eyes. Well, at the airport, he kind of ignored the chance, but here he decided he was going to let them know what he was thinking, and he turned around and flipped them all off. He gave him, flipped him the bird, told him what was on his mind. So that's kind of funny. I mean, you're not supposed to, but I guess they just got underneath his skin enough that he lets you know what's up. I think Portugal should win it. If they don't, then Portugal has some questions to answer. That's for sure. Anyway, the other story I told you about was the Ukraine-Germany game, and it's going to be played in Ukraine this weekend. But Ukraine is also part of hosting the Euro 2012, and they're having, I guess, a lot of problems with stray dogs. They don't want people to get bitten by them. They have a lot of stray dogs. So what they implemented this new and very, very sad way of dealing with it. They're poisoning or even tranquilizing the dogs, and then they're burning them in mobile crematoriums. So it's very, very sad. And I don't know why they would do it, but I mean, I guess I just think there's focused too much on Euro 2012, I guess, and the money. But Germany joins PETA and other animal rights groups in going against what Ukraine is doing. I think it's funny that they're kind of doing this, and a bunch of players come out and said that they disagree, and a lot of people coming out. And I'm not saying that's weird, but I think they might be doing it just because they're playing them this friendly, and they have to travel to Ukraine. They're not, you know, Ukraine's not coming to them. They're going to Ukraine. So we'll see how that affects some of the blood boiling temperatures of some of the Ukrainian fans. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But I think that's a very sad thing to do. And I totally agree with the German players and the German FA. And going and saying that that's inhumane and that it needs to be changed. And I really feel it does. And I know a lot of people are saying that they need to just pull the Euro 2012 bid away from it and not let them host. But, you know, they've built a lot of new stadiums for it, and they've done a lot of things for the tournament. So I don't see that happening. But that would definitely prove their point. There's no question about that. Going straight to the extreme. I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen that, right? I'm just saying. Anyway, now coming back to the home front and talking about Dominican soccer. This past weekend, last Friday, the men's and women's seasons finished. This last Friday, we played Academy of the Art University at Academy of the Art. The men beat Academy of the Art 2-0, and the women lost 3-2 in overtime. It's such a crazy game. They played a man down for a good chunk of the time. The freshman Kendra Korsberg, the defensive mid player, was shown two yellows and could not play. The men fell at home in their last game of the season to Notre Dame 3-0. The women lost 2-1 to Notre Dame, and it was Katie Brown's and Shayna Elkins' last games. But unfortunately, Shayna Elkins in the AAU, the Academy of the Art game, picked up a fifth yellow card, and she had to sit out a game. So she had to sit out her last technically home game, which is very sad. I know a lot of us were just trying to see if she could petition it or something of that, and unfortunately she couldn't. So their Dominican soccer careers are over, but they've done so much for this program, or the women's program, that they will never be forgotten, that's for sure. So that's it. The seasons are over. The men finished, I believe, in eighth place, and the women finished, I believe, in ninth out of 10 teams. So not quite the seasons they were looking for, but they're still young teams, and it's a rebuilding year, and I think next year it's going to be even better. Honestly, I think it's just going to be fantastic for both teams. There's lots of freshmen coming back for the men, and there's lots of young talented players coming back for the women, and another year of knowledge, another year of experience underneath that belt can only bode well for your program. There's no question about that. So on that note, I bid you good night. That's the end of the Red Card here on radio.dominican.edu. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen.
off of my chair.